Blog Talk Radio.
Make a girl blush that way. Welcome, people. Everybody calm down. Welcome, people. Welcome to She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio. She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio. Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We're coming at you live and kicking. And it is a windy day in Gotham. Windy day. And we have a great...
Windy but pretty.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a night. You know what? This is. I think, Ali, this is the perfect time of year because the colors are just at their peak. You know, fall has that peak.
Autumn is the best.
The peak.
Right.
But spring and autumn, when they're both at their peak.
Yeah.
I think there's really, truly, there's no. I mean, I'm a summer person, and you are too. But I don't think there's anything prettier, really prettier than this time of year. The cherry blossoms are in bloom.
Yeah.
The lawns are not looking any greener. I mean, it's just
especially
lovely.
After all the rain we've had.
And we had a lot of rain, but we need it.
Mine looks like a golf course. It looks great.
Yeah. Well, on the way to the studio, we passed by a golf course, and we look at it all the time on a Wednesday. And I think last week was the greenest I've seen it. Really, really nice. But welcome, people, to another episode of She's Raising the Bar. This is what the format is. For people who are just scratching their head saying, what the hell is she talking about? What's that title about? This is about raising the bar, literally, figuratively, in every sense of the word. It is a platform, really, for everybody. But we're supporting the sisters here because I feel that in this climate, in everything that's changed in the world in the past 3 months, we really need the fellowship and the solidarity of sisterhood like never before.
Mm-hmm.
But not to say that men are not allowed on the show. We had Gilad on the show. We have John Baystow.
That's not what we're really
talking
about.
Coming on the show.
Right.
It's for everybody. So, people, don't be...
discouraged.
Don't be discouraged. I always say, boys, stay in the room. Don't change the channel. Stay with us. You'll be amused for an hour. You'll laugh. And you'll certainly have a good time. Definitely this hour, you will definitely. You know, first I want to make mention of my lovely co-host and the ladies behind the mic, so people could follow the cast of characters.
Okay.
Lori Towers is me.
Yes.
Lee Ziegelman is she.
Thank you.
And that's who's bringing you.
She's raising the bar.
That's
raise it high, people.
Raise it high. And let me tell you something. Our next guest has raised the bar more often than I think people realize. This is this woman, and as we were producing the sizzle wheels for the show, and I was, you know, in production, and how I wanted it to, you know, present, what I wanted to really say about our next guest. You know, and the simplistic version of this is any time you have laughed in front of a TV over the past 30 years, at any of the sitcoms, Mary Tyler Moore, Maude.
Especially our age, you know.
Partridge Family.
Yeah.
And also for the people that are tuning in to MeTV.
Right.
I don't know if Manhattan Cable has it, but it's MeTV, Cozy, all those shows that are bringing back the shows that we saw the first time around.
Yep.
This woman was responsible for a lot of our laughter. And, you know, it's funny because...
She must be so funny herself.
She actually is.
Because that comes
from
within.
Yes, she actually... Unlike there are a lot of people that write comedy, they really aren't, but she certainly isn't very charming, and you'll meet her in a few minutes. But it's funny how somebody is so much a part of your life, and there's never a face to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's never... and you know what? I'm this way. Being a musician, I'm always fascinated by the studio musicians of, like, the 60s and the 70s, they're still around now, but it happened more then where record companies would bring in studio musicians to make sure they got the songs perfect, even if the groups could play.
Mm-hmm.
And you always think in terms of the people that played on the tapestry of your life, the people that have played. I mean, you blast a song in a car, and you don't know the names behind the people.
Right.
And this is, again, one of the unsung heroes of our laughter of the 70s, and so many times. And she'll come on, and she's got a book out, and I gave you your copy today.
Yes.
Late. Hot Pants in Hollywood.
So excited to read it.
You know, I was looking through it on my train ride home. My train ride home is about an hour and 10 minutes. And I'm lucky enough to get a seat, and I figured, let me just look through it. And it's just, this book could have gotten away with being like who's who, because there's a lot of celebrity cachet in it. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of
well, she's been on so many
yeah.
big, you know,
yeah.
top shows.
But
sure,
there's
a lot of celebrity cachet.
And in saying that, it would be very easy to say, start naming, she met this one, she met that. But, you know, I don't want it to go that way. Because
no, because she's a celebrity, but you just
yeah.
haven't seen her face.
That's exactly. And also, because people that aren't of our generation, the people that maybe are coming to know her work from, you know, they're in their 30s or so on and so forth, you forget there was a time that pushing these scripts through that were more of a feminist standpoint didn't happen as easy as it does
now.
So I'm thinking to myself as I'm reading this, and a lot of what she's done, and a lot of things that I might have known and maybe I didn't know. It's somebody like her who made it easy for the Tina Fey's,
mm-hmm.
for the Amy Schumer's, for all these people to come forward and, you know, sit in front of a table of men and say, okay, this is what we're doing this week. This is my idea for a storyline. God forbid be able to produce it. See, this is what I'm saying. The people that are maybe tuning in to different shows that this lady was a part of now don't realize the push that was involved in getting these doors open. So this is why we always say in the show, and I always include in one of our frames in the video, I'm grateful for the women that came before me
mm-hmm.
that you know, helped bring about my rights, because it's true. Because it seems so easy now.
If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of the stuff we could do now.
And we don't, you and I, you know, we're in our 50s. We remember when it wasn't as easy.
Yes.
Not that I'm saying things are easy
mm-hmm.
now, but people younger don't get
yeah.
that, you know, there was a time where there was, you know, a lot of headbutting.
Because they weren't there.
That's it.
They weren't there.
It's so easy to forget that. So I see that she's on deck, but what I want to do before we even bring the lovely Susan Silva on, and she's going to be with us.
That's the first time you said her name.
Oh.
We weren't, like, giving the name out.
Let me just hit this. And just bring back some memories for more, huh? Yeah. Remember this theme?
I love this song.
Yeah.
And I love the show. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this show.
Nice, huh?
Oh, Lou.
Yeah. And that was just a little trivia for anybody who wanted to know that was, and I believe the singer is still with us. I think
who is it?
Sonny Curtis.
Oh, really?
I believe,
never knew that.
I believe he's, and he was kind of a B.J. Thomas.
Yeah, that's
so
who
big,
he sounds like.
But that's Sonny Curtis. And also, I was going to do the theme for Maud, which I can't find now, and that was the late Donny Hathaway.
Oh, really?
He was on that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Something new.
See, that's the musician in me that's helping
you,
helping you out. But the lovely Susan.
Should I bring her on?
Please bring her on.
Hello.
Darling.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Welcome, welcome.
Thank
welcome
you. So it sounds a little strange because I'm in my bathroom.
Uh-oh.
Because the construction outside on my terrace is people screaming and yelling. So if you hear that, you'll know why.
It's a typical New York
there you go.
Typical New York backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, typical.
How are you enjoying? I mean, your book. I mean, I gave Elite
yes,
her book today.
I can't wait to read it. But I was laughing at the first couple of paragraphs.
Oh my God!
I
how
bet.
Are you enjoying this buzz? Well, the first chapter. I didn't even tell you about the intro. But you'll get to that.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
But anybody who's reading the book knows exactly what I'm talking about. But how are you enjoying the buzz of this? No pun intended.
I am telling you, I am having so much fun. I did a bunch of radio this morning. I'm doing you guys for quality time where, you know, we get to really have a conversation. And I'm just enjoying it so much. I was walking down the street and I ran into my old real estate broker who was telling me how he loved everything. I said, oh, my God, this is fun. It could go to girl's head if you let it.
But this is just such a wonderful time, and you know what I think is I don't know if you heard my babbling before you came on. I was thinking of different ways of promoting this and giving you a platform. And again, the content of the book, as I was looking through it, I didn't read it all. It's very celebrity heavy, and it'd be very easy to start name dropping. But the point of the book is, and the point of view is, you are the one that made it easy for the Tina Fey's and the Amy Schumer's and everybody else who, not that it's easy, you're just walking in and submitting a script, but you certainly paved the way.
Female comedians nowadays,
Well, I was a part of a really iconic show that I know Tina and some of these other people worshipped, and I would like to think they're following in Mary's footsteps. And it really is, it's a lot of things. The subtitle of the book is Sex, Secrets, and Sitcoms, and it's a little bit of each. And it's also about women in general reinventing ourselves. We live a lot longer now. Sometimes one career isn't enough. I've had three different ones. And I must tell you that in the 2 years it took to write the book, I was kind of amazed, A, that I'm still here, and B, how resilient I was, because you don't feel it when you're going through it. You know, you just don't. So I hope it's inspirational as well as making people laugh, and there is a lot of gossip.
I was flipping through.
I'm looking forward to that.
There's a lot of
At one point, I wanted to call it name dropping. I say I'm like the Ms. Zelig of my generation.
I have
stood next to or known or engaged with or run away from every icon of my generation. It's really scary.
This is really true. And you know what? I think the hardest thing, and we've had a lot of people on the show that have had, we had, what was it, Tammy Lee, of, and I think you know her, not personally, Buns of Steel. Do you remember that video, Susan?
Yeah,
Buns of Steel, okay. And we always have the conversation, how do you, when you have great success at one point in your life, how do you how do you reinvent yourself?
I tell you, the truth of it is, I say this in the book as a joke, but it's true. Once I got a fortune cookie and I opened it up and it said everyone has to have a porpoise in life. So I said, maybe not a porpoise, but a purpose. And so I put it up on my mirror. And it also said every man, and it should have said everyone. But anyway, I retired after 20 years in the biz, and I got a whole new career. I moved to New York, and I networked for about 3-4 months to meet people and come up with it, and I realized you have to do what your passion is. And at the time, I was very involved with Holocaust things. So I worked for the Anti-Defamation League. I ran a speakers bureau. And then I was the UN observer for the Simon Wiesenthal Center. So Gary Marshall, who was my great mentor and dear friend, said I was the original hyphenate. Hyphenates are directors/producers, actors/waiters, usually. And I was, he said, sitcom writer/Nazi hunter.
Wow, that's cool.
So that was my second reinvention. And my third one, I did a dating column called The Search for Mr. Adequate, because there is no prince. There's no perfect. Yep. And after 35, and then after 50, oh, my gosh, you know, you find someone more than adequate and you make him into the one. There's no perfect, kids. There just isn't.
There isn't. There's no such thing as perfect.
And we're not perfect either, but don't tell anybody.
No, that's why I'm saying there's no such thing.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that this is the most important statement for a woman to make, is you don't find your ideal in somebody else. Find it in yourself first. And then
for
it's
sure.
easier for you, you know, because the thing is, people come with flaws. I have flaws. Everybody does. But if you're looking for that perfect person, it's not going to exist, and you're always going to be terribly disappointed in life. So find everything you need in yourself, And then your partner, you know, could be anybody or nobody.
Well,
that's
also a part of the book. I've been divorced, like I say, from another century in another galaxy many moons ago. And I've dated over 500 people because I've been divorced a long time.
Wow.
And I'm not in a relationship. And you look and can find love in interesting places also. And I have my wonderful adopted soldier sons in Israel, and I have my wonderful little goddaughter. And there are many ways to fulfill your life. And now we're living a long time, and you get to explore a lot of them.
Well, that's your next book, Dating Over 500.
Yeah. No, I say, it's so embarrassing, yeah. No, my next book, maybe, I'm not sure, but I had this column, you know, and it may be the Search for Mr. Adequate columns, because what was so interesting to me was it wasn't just women of a certain age. It was guys. It was women under 35. We're all having the same problems, so I think we're all living the same lives, really.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I want to ask you an interesting question. I'd like to ask writers this, because I've heard two sides of the story. What are you feeling on bloggers? How do you feel about them?
I tell you, it's a whole new world. Even in promoting the book, it's such a different thing other than traditional media. And I like it. And also for people who want to get a start in the business. It used to be there were three networks and a finite number of shows, and it was hard. There weren't many jobs, and there are less jobs now because they are all staff written. But you can go on the internet, you can blog your way into a book, you can put YouTube stuff up. There's many, many more opportunities, and I think it's very important for people to use all those opportunities to get heard.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's very true. It's easier now.
Well, I mean, I think that social media is a wonderful vehicle that we haven't had. I mean, it could be used. I mean, I'm on social media just because I need to be, but outside of that, I mean, it's not a personal thing for me. But we've had writers on the show and restaurant reviewers, I'm not going to mention names, because they always say, well, they're the ones that are reviewing the restaurant for free, so how am I going to get paid?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to ask you.
It's a mixed blessing in a way. I think it is a mixed blessing. But for me, and also when you're a writer, in the old days we used to write at home. We'd go have our meetings and we'd pitch and we'd come home and write the scripts. Now they're all in a room together, that writer's room. But being a real writer, and certainly books and other things, is a very lonely profession.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And if it weren't for Facebook and Twitter, I think I would go crazy. I adore, sometimes I watch like Academy Awards with people on Facebook. You know, it's just fun to share and to express yourself.
Right.
And you know, it can be a wonderful outlet. It can be misused, of course, as everything can be.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I think it's good. And it's the world we're living in. Get used to it, right?
Yeah.
And you get your opinions right away.
Yep.
Yeah.
And right away they'll know. They'll tell you if they like it or not.
Well, you know.
And they'll also
think
threaten your life sometimes.
That shouldn't be allowed, but what are you going to do?
This is what I'm saying.
You got a lot of crazies, too.
Well, you know, and the three of us are left-leaning, so I'll say this, and I'll say it in your company. Facebook has gotten a lot more it's been a lot more ugly over the past 3 months because, you know, instead of saying the things that we feel and everybody's entitled to their opinion, it's gotten so far to where I don't recognize us as human beings
anymore.
It's
frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
And Twitter, too, I've had to block some people. I think we're living, and I don't want to get real political, I think we're living in the most dangerous time,
certainly
of my lifetime here. It's very sad. It's very upsetting. And I think it helps to know that there are others out there who feel the way you do, so you can march, you can express yourself.
Yep.
Otherwise, I think we'd all feel extremely alienated.
Yep.
And anecdotally, shrinks are saying they've never had so many clients. So it's a tough time.
I have heard that.
So
I
we have to laugh, and that's why I want my book out there to make you laugh.
Right.
And you know what? Speaking of laughing, I've been saying if I have to do it all again, I would come back as a writer for Saturday Night Live because they have material at the beginning of every week.
Yeah, but that's a tough job. You know, they work all night long.
They do.
It's a crazy time.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just their, you know, everything that's happening, they're using it to their advantage. I mean, because
all comedy shows are. You know, I did a Huffington Post piece about a year ago before this was all real, and I said it's going to be the nighttime comics that help us and get us out of this. Unfortunately, they didn't, but they are speaking their mind. And, yeah, it's something everybody has to commit to because otherwise you are complicit. And I think there are a lot of excellent, smart, witty comics who are saying things sometimes that others aren't able to.
Yeah. Well, that, you know,
I'll have the courage to say it.
Well, the truth is, we have to laugh because it's become, and not, again, not to be too political, it's become a truly bizarre world. And this is why, I mean, the format to the show is what it's become, because we really need to bond together. We really need sister solidarity, and we really need to make sure that everything that we believe in as women going forward stays intact. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and we don't go
and
back
this is
to,
like I say again, the most frightening time when they want to move things back. You know, feminism came around the time when I started and was the most helpful thing, and that's why I didn't have a terrible time, because I came at the kind of crest of that. But
mm-hmm.
now they want to take us backwards, and now ageism is another thing that's causing
yeah.
a lot of problems, particularly in show business too. So, you know, there are a lot of isms out there, and we have to keep fighting them.
And that's, you know, and I always use this as an example. The worst day of my life, and I always say to a leader, was Black Friday when I was watching him being sworn in. I said, you know what, I got to walk out of the house. I can't watch this. The next
you know,
day
I left the country. I went to Israel for a week where it was safer.
Yeah.
to be here.
And that's the safest place right now.
Yeah. Wow.
I tell you, it's frightening. No,
it's
and I
really frightening.
I had to get away. And, you know, there is something else. All my friends who I... you know, that I talk to everybody is obsessed with the news, and I tell people, and I myself, you have to take a break every once
yeah.
in a while, otherwise
yes,
you make yourself yeah. sick.
Yep.
Well,
so Mother's Day is coming, and I'm thinking that my book would be so great for baby boomer mothers and daughters because they could share a baby boomer's experience, the mothers could relate in some way, and then the daughters could kind of learn and give the mothers a few laughs. What do you think?
Very true.
How smart is
that's
that?
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where to promote that Mother's Day group.
Wait, you know something? Let me run with that a little bit. There's got to be a spin on that, because that's actually perfect. Mother's Day is what, 2 weeks, yeah? Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
That is absolutely a great idea.
I know. Are there, like, conventions of gifts for mothers or something? I don't know.
You know what? First of all, the book is available on Amazon, right? So that you
Amazon,
could do
Barnes and Noble, everywhere. I will tell you, on my web page, which is so good because I list all the places it's available, and also I want to remember to tell your listeners there's a free bonus chapter which is not in the book. So if you go onto the website, www.hotpantsinhollywood, what else would it be called, .com, then you can get this free chapter, and then they can email me. And I want to hear people's experiences. I've gotten a couple reviews that make me feel good because they said it feels like it's just me sitting down talking to them, which is the kindest, nicest thing you could say. I mean, that's what I want it to be. So if they go on the website, they can find a list of places to buy it. They can see me do videos, press, blogs, speaking of blogs, and they can also get that free chapter.
Very
which
cool.
is about a sexy 50th birthday. I'll just throw that into the conversation.
Oh, now I'm
definitely going to go on.
Yeah, because I got myself He Who Shall Be Nameless, but hey, you'll like it.
But this is great summer reading, too.
Yeah,
you know, this is
definitely.
like a great summer book pick, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How is that construction? Is that, it seems like it's a little quiet now.
Say anything because it'll curse
the
before bring
we hear a drill.
It's a nightmare. It's for, you know, I have my own little radio thing called Susan Says on WHDD, Robin Hood Radio, and I have this commentary where I do politics and media, and then I have this segment called Oh Come On, which is things that piss me off, and 90% of it is about noise. So
yeah,
you can tell where I'm coming
noise.
From.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, you know, when especially when you're home during the day and there's construction
well,
going on.
I'm home all day, and I work from home, and they're out there, and they don't get it. They don't seem
yeah.
to understand, nor do they care.
The suburbs, all you got is the lawnmowers all day and those blowers.
Really?
And it's just like all you hear. It's the same thing. It's the same noise.
Traffic today, getting back today, I almost was late for you guys. Traffic and noise are the banes of my existence here,
Thank you.
I wouldn't live anywhere else, but it's still
exactly
pretty
right.
annoying.
Well, that's the thing. Once, I mean, look, there's. I preface the statement by saying New York is not for everybody.
No.
But I could never see myself being anyplace else.
Well, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, which was a total unique experience. Then I went out to California, where you had to be if you were in the business. And I couldn't wait to get away from there. And I love New York. I really do. But somehow lately, I have to tell you, I don't know what it is. The traffic is unbelievable.
That's why I hate New York. That's why I hate
you
New
do?
York.
You do?
I can't take the traffic anymore.
Where do you
really
live?
No, I live in Staten Island. But, you know, every time I travel to the city, the traffic, it's never a day without traffic. Never a day.
Oh, no, there's not. And then now we have this real problem on Fifth Avenue getting down because you know who, which pretend president.
Yep.
Is I call him hashtag 45-ish. It's not real. Trying to get that picked up. Promote that. Hashtag 45-ish. You cannot literally, and the bus, I take the bus. It doesn't stop now on two stops.
No.
You're kidding me.
If you remember, my office is three blocks from him. So you could imagine what
it must be craziness around you, too.
And stores that have closed.
That's terrible. And they don't care. They just don't care.
So what do you guys, you work from a studio together or on the phone?
Yeah, a studio together now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, you know, the thing is, especially when you have a co-host, I like to be able to see her.
Yeah.
We like to be able to cue each other. We've done shows separately at certain points. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing the show together?
4 years.
Yeah,
wow.
Four years. And the ratings are fantastic. And like I
said, that's so great.
Last month, well, it was really because Elite was always complaining about things. She was cretching about this.
Well, there you go. My old come on.
That's. I always say she's the.
It's the Jew in me.
She's the oy vey to my Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
That's
what I say.
Well, Italians and Jews are the same people.
They are. They just say it
differently. We eat the same way, and we love our families the same way, and we cretch the same way.
That's it.
You know what? This was a point I was going to also make. And I know Susan personally, and she, as you could see, she is funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's funny in the sense of having comedic timing. Did you ever think of going into stand-up comedy?
Do you know, I'll tell you a couple reasons why not.
Mm-hmm.
I was the lead in my senior class play. I thought I wanted to be an actress. I got so nervous before the second act, I wet my pants.
So I said,
perhaps I'm not cut out for that. Then I was asked to do a storytelling a few years ago, which is, you know, like the moth, and you get up at a nightclub and you tell your story. And I thought, oh, this will be fun. It'll be exciting. First of all, I got so nervous. And second of all, they put the lights in your face. You can't see anything.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to fall off the stage. So I did the whole show with my hand up against the light, which was not exactly the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's tough. Stand-up, I think, is the toughest thing. Plus, you have to travel and stay in awful motels. And
And the pay isn't good either.
I love doing TV and radio and this kind of stuff because then I can say what I want and it comes out and no one's editing me, you know.
And you can wear your pajamas.
Yeah.
Well, you know
what?
You can wear your pajamas now.
Sure.
Yes,
that's the beauty of radio.
I never want to leave the house ever.
But
I feel the same way.
I was thinking, who was around in those? It was Toadie Fields around in the 70s. Toadie Fields.
Joan Rivers, of course. Joan was a friend. We had talked always about doing something together, and we never did. But she did teach me one really good lesson because she used to do Johnny Carson all the time and everything. And people honestly think, first of all, people think that actors make up their own lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think that when they go on a talk show, it's all spontaneous. It's not. She used to tell me, you always write four or five things before you go on so you can throw them in. So whenever I do TV now, I remember that lesson because you always have to have something to slip in if there's a moment, you know, of silence or whatever,
quiet.
And you have to be prepared.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny you think about the female comics. Getting back to the point of you know, being an evolved woman in a male-dominated industry, think about when Joan Rivers, one of my favorite lines from her about Edgar asked me what my favorite sexual position was, and he said, next door. Think about how women always had to devalue themselves to be funny and sexual. Toadie Fields, I'm trying to think, I don't remember much of her humor.
Well, they made fun of the way they looked, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Phyllis
was fat, and Phyllis was
really
unattractive, and she had all that plastic surgery,
and
Joan made fun. They all made fun of their look.
Right. See, that's,
because
that's
it was too threatening to be good looking and funny at the same time. You know?
Right,
that's a twofer.
That's why I was going to ask you, because as you could see in the pictures, Susan Silver is quite the knockout.
Thank you, darling.
If that played any part, because Morgan Fairchild is actually pretty funny too.
Is she?
Yeah, she's actually very funny. Very
funny. I
didn't
know that. No, what happened was I, as the title of the book says, I actually did wear hot pants to meetings, and I am so humiliated now in retrospect. But back in the day, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And it got me a TV Guide article, The Writer Wore Hot Pants, which kind of triggered off everything. And because I had a partner in the beginning, we only had one or two bad sort of stereotypical things. We walked into one guy's office, and he had on the wall, and I swear to God, pictures of women, naked women's breasts all over the whole wall.
Of course, yeah.
And we looked at it, we looked at each other, and then he said something about, are you the secretaries? We said, no, we're the writers.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else made us cry. So from that moment on, I took a bottle of Mylanta with me to every meeting, and I would stick it on the desk, and they'd say, what's that? I'd say, I have an ulcer. Please don't aggravate it.
That's
yeah, but basically, I was so lucky because I started on Mary Tyler Moore, which was all about women and all catering to women writers. So I didn't have the terrible stuff that a lot of women went through. I did have a problem when I was doing casting at Laffin, and there was an article in the New York Times a few months ago about gender discrimination, and I contributed to that. I wanted to be a writer, and then the boss said to me, well, you can't because all the writers are men, and they want to be in their, they were in an apartment, and they want to walk around in their underwear and fart. So I said, oh, farting is keeping me from being a writer. So I think the New York Times would say that, but I said, should we say passing gas? They said, well, let's see. And I got the New York Times to say fart, so I think that's quite an accomplishment.
That deserves an applause.
Definitely.
That's the Times. But it's I tell you, it's, you know, as I watch these shows, I mean, there were some shows that I'm not going to name names, that it's just, it's regional humor, and it's dated humor, and you can't really appreciate it now. But Mary Tyler Moore, and Maude especially, I always love, you could still laugh. You could still laugh.
I know, and you know, generations of younger, all these younger female comics and everybody grew up on that show or saw it in reruns, and young women today still, it's a credit that's lasted forever. I mean, it's so fortunate, I can't tell you. I'm really shocked. There are not a lot of shows that have lasted like that. But it was also very truthful, and it was about women going through that transition from,
yeah,
you know, being unable to get your own credit card.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you had to have your husband's name on the
yes.
credit card and stuff like that. So, you know, it was really the perfect show for the times.
And I think Maude was great because, you know, here you had this real, real left woman in Tuckahoe, New York. Tuckahoe, New York is where she lived, right, Susan? That's
you know something? I don't even know. Isn't that
Tuckahoe,
awesome?
Tuckahoe, New York. Yes, I'm pretty sure of it. I'm pretty sure
I don't
of
know.
It. But, and it was wonderful because the balance was so different. You had Bill Macy playing, you
right.
know, kind of the long-suffering husband. He just rolled his
right.
eyes. He loved her to death and silently supported her, which was, I don't think that ever was presented on TV at that time.
No.
Well, she was iconic, and all of Norman Lear's shows were, you know, had a little more political agendas to them,
yeah.
and were very news, you know, they were very on the dime about that, and it were kind of, you know, really groundbreaking. All in the Family, of course, came from an English show, which had
yeah.
been translated, and so did Sanford and Son. But, yeah, Norman, who's still alive and still fighting the good fight, politically for sure, had
yeah.
a huge hand in changing the face of television now, I think.
Oh, he definitely did. How old is he now? He's
90.
90.
Wow. She's still
or
writing.
Or even above that. I think there's a documentary out about all those guys, Kyle Reiner, Mel Brooks, Norman. I'm hearing about it. It should be amazing if it's true.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back to Mary Tyler Moore. I'm trying to think of it, and I remember most of the episodes. You really didn't lean into anything political on that show, I don't think, right?
No. After I left, I was just there the first 2 years, and they really didn't have an agenda at all. They wanted us to be truthful about our own lives and do experiences that women had never seen on television before, but were, you know, stories about, like, one of my favorites that I did was Rhoda lost her job, and there was a job available at the station. And everybody said, oh, this will be perfect for Rhoda. And Mary had that momentary thing of, do I want my best friend here as
yeah.
well as at home? And I'm not sure. And
uh-huh.
she took the thing down, and Lou Grant saw her, and he said, oh, I love it. You're as rotten as all the rest of us. But, of course, it was Mary, so she didn't. She told her about the job. But, I mean, that's a girl thing. That's a woman thing. We love our friends, but sometimes we need our own space. Or
yeah.
my first show was how you're always asked to stand up for a wedding. Sometimes you don't like the person and you get stuck with this horrible dress. And, you know, that happens to every girl that ever lived, but the guys don't know about those things.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm. No.
And that's the thing. You know, that's why the show, I think, was so important, because it showed, even with Cloris Leachman's character, it showed the, you know, the loving but the backbiting, and that's
right.
intrinsic. And I always say, look at like a show like Laverne and Shirley. That was the first two broke girls, when you think
yeah.
about it, right?
Oh, my gosh, you're absolutely right. And, of course,
yeah.
Jerry Gary was my mentor and manager and my dear friend. And he, there were three schools of comedy at the time, and they all shared, you know, the nighttime. Gary had the happy days, the Laverne and Shirley, the fun stuff. He said he wanted to be recess in the day. And then Mary Tyler Moore and Newhart and stuff were, you know, realistic things. And then Norman was so political. And then MASH, of course, which was also political. But there were like three different genres. And I, someone pointed out to me this morning, I hadn't even thought of it, that I was so fortunate to be involved with all three of them. So I feel very, very lucky.
That's wonderful.
Well, that's what I was saying before you came on the show. You're part of the laughter of most of our lives without even knowing it.
This is true, and I'm still alive. Oh, my God. And I'm only between 50 and death because I stopped having birthdays. After that birthday, which chapter is free that you'll read about, I said, that's my last birthday, and gotten into some arguments with feminists about that. But feminism to me is about being able to choose whatever you want to do, to be, to say. And if I want to say I'm between 50 and death, that's it.
But that's the whole thing. It's, you know, and I've always tried to explain myself to people because it's like, well, you're a feminist, you probably are anti-man. No, I'm not.
No,
it just doesn't have
nothing to do with
it. But that is the misconception. And that's why the word is, let's be serious. Women have always been the underclass. So, I mean, the men don't need help from me. So I'm going to support my sisters.
Yeah, you know, when Iris, my partner Iris Rainer Dart, and I were, we first started writing and feminism was starting, we went to a consciousness-raising meeting. That's what they were called in those days. And everybody sat around and, you know, told their stories, and some people griped, and some people were going to march and burn their bras. And I said, I was the only person barely in high school who wasn't wearing a bra. I wasn't giving mine up once I got it. I was struggling to get that bra. So I wasn't going to burn it. But I said, if we can really do good jobs, then we'll play our part and we'll open the door. So not the marching, well, I wasn't then, I am now the marching kind, but
good
then I said, let's just do our work and we'll do that, and I have to keep my bra because I was wearing an undershirt when I was 12, so, you know.
Oh,
wow.
Well, I can't
speak. Thank God things changed.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of the march, and obviously you weren't here in Israel, my point before was, you know, as sick as I was watching the inauguration, the next day I was involved in the march in New York, which was amazing. It was absolutely.
I did the other march, the following one. What was so fantastic about the march, aside from walking with people and bonding with people,
mm-hmm.
was the support of the women and men on the sides of the streets. Don't you think?
That was people hanging from windows.
That made it so fabulous.
It was.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was saying to myself, well, it's really preaching to the choir. We're in New York. I mean, I expected everybody to react like that. But my assistant was sending me pictures saying, well, my sister in London is walking with her daughters. And everybody was marching.
My goddaughter, who's five, she was faux at the time, faux, as she said.
Faux.
Her mother took her and her sister and took them to a Mommy and Children's Rally in San Francisco, which I thought was so amazing. Because she wanted her to know even then. Yep.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, a lot of people were saying that night they went to sleep and they told their daughters, when you wake up tomorrow, you can have a female president. And, you know, there was a lot of processing that had to come about with everything that happened.
Hey.
Yeah. So
on that depressing note, let's think of something funny to talk about now.
Yeah, right.
But see, this is what I was saying. This is why, you see how funny she is.
Yeah.
I think
that
she
doesn't like to stay on those kind of topics, which is good.
No. I'm talking about
I do, but,
doing stand-up.
You know, like I say, I'm on it 24/7 myself. You know something? When you love comedy, and hopefully, and I am funny, I do it a lot of time to entertain myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I say things out loud to myself when I'm watching or doing stuff. And that's another reason I love Twitter. Because you can just write funny little things down and send them out into the universe, whether
your
people.
Random thoughts.
Yeah.
That's true, and it is funny. It's a sound bite. It could be either an angry sound bite, a comedic sound bite.
Right.
But it's just. What I want to ask you too is, I'm always fascinated with scripts that get turned away. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Rod Serling, and he was brilliant for getting things past the censors that they didn't realize was very left leaning. Was there any script that you guys submitted that constantly got bounced back because of political import or something that they didn't want?
No, but you know what? When I worked on Rona Martin's Laughing, of course, that was such a pivotal, iconic show. It was a variety show. The Smothers Brothers at the time, for your older, I mean your younger listeners, they were much more political, but we were very political also, and the censors were there every single day. I mean, originally they wanted Nixon to say, "You bet your Bippy," which is one of the slogans.
That's
except
right,
Bippy meant something that his people said, "I don't think we want him to say that," you know. So they were always trying to sneak little things in there, and
But he ended up saying, "Sock it to me," or something, right?
He said, "Sock it to me."
Right.
He had to do it as a question. It took him 6 takes to figure it out,
Well, that was actually a very political show. I forgot what guests they had on that they got in trouble for. Oh, now I can't remember. There was
that
a
they
guest
got in trouble for?
Yeah. That there was. I forgot who it was. It wasn't a folk singer. There was somebody. My husband would know.
No, no, honey. That was, I believe, the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, Smothers Brothers.
I'm talking about Roland Martin Blaffin. Yeah,
we talked about Blaffin.
The Smothers Brothers did an anti-war song, and that got them canceled.
Really? Wow.
Well, we forget how, I mean, as bad as things can be, the censors really had a lot more hand in what happened. The show could go off the air.
Well, you know, when Mary Tyler Moore played Dick Van Dyke's wife, I don't know if you remember back in the day, they weren't allowed to be in the same bed. They had to sleep in separate beds.
Same thing with the word abortion,
and you couldn't, you know, a lot of things.
Well, were you able to say pregnant at that point? I'm trying to remember. But Mary Tyler Moore, you can say,
pregnant, you could. Yeah, but I do remember that. I think up until, I don't even remember which show they showed people in the same bed, but I do remember that Mary and he were in twin beds they had.
Well, Love American Style, did they have people in the same bed? I'm trying to think.
I don't know, but
you
I
know,
did.
You know, Bob Newhart slept with Suzanne Plichette in the bed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They were in the same
bed. They were
I actually did a Love American Style about a couple wanting to go cheat and looking for a motel and how hard it was to do it. And it just became so hard they decided not to. So that was my Love American Style back in the
there
day.
There were a lot of great episodes. Yeah. If you had to do it all again, would you change anything?
Well, that's such a good question. You know what? There's one choice I made that really was pivotal financially, but I don't regret doing it. I always was a freelancer my first couple of years, and then by my third year, I was doing movies of the week, and I wasn't doing shows anymore. I was doing pilots for my own show. And then they offered me to produce the second Bob Newhart show, remember?
Vermont.
So I took the job. I was very excited. I love those guys. And that night, I was sleeping, and I dreamt that I was working on an assembly line in Detroit, like Lucy when the chocolates come too fast, you know?
Oh.
And I couldn't do it. So the next morning I turned the job down because I don't want to get up and be there from 10 in the morning till midnight. I was married. I wanted to have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, in those days, if you weren't part of a family, like the MTM family or something, you couldn't really have a lot of backing. And so I lost an awful lot of money, but I got my freedom, which was always more important to me. So that's the only career choice that I don't regret it, but it's a question, you know, it's a different path. I took a different path. And then, as it turned out, I got divorced and moved to New York anyway. So, you know, it was a whole other thing.
You know, I always think you are where you should be. You know, somehow you always land where it's appropriate for you.
And what I say in the book, you always take yourself. So you're there, and you think things are going to change. Sometimes you have to change because it's
That's
you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's
it's
exactly
still
right.
You, babe.
You know, you mentioned the movies of the week. Do you remember the movies of the week, Elite?
Sure.
And I always say, to this day, they were great. I remember.
I used to love them.
And kids don't remember. We just had 9 channels to watch, and
we
always found something good.
There was no
more
cable. Right.
And I remember the new movies of the week being great.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have that anymore? It's amazing.
Well,
it's
they have channels of them. I mean, Lifetime is a whole channel of movies of the week.
Lifetime, right.
They're very expensive, and they're still good. But, yeah, when I did it, they had just started, believe it or not, and I actually, not to brag on myself, but I will, I had the first top 10 comedy, The Couple Takes a Wife, and then my second one also, The Girl Who Came to Gifford, and that was like rare because there were no comedies. There were always women in jeopardy. Remember that?
Yeah,
that was the theme.
Definitely.
Yeah, I also did 5 others that didn't get made, so that's a whole other aspect of the business called development hell. Where you get paid, you work, you put these little baby scripts out there, and they never come to fruition. That's one of the reasons I retired. I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to, you know.
It's heartbreaking.
It has to be, because it's like, it's like your child, and then
yeah.
Little, it's a rejection.
Little babies up on the shelf, no question about it. And you can make a fortune and still do well, but it's debilitating. And that,
yeah.
After 20 years, I just didn't want to do it anymore. So.
It gets tiring.
Yep.
What's your take on reality shows? I'm curious, too.
You know, my
mm-hmm.
friends out in the business hate them because it's ruined their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Sad to say, I'm a victim of watching. I can't help myself.
I
watch
either.
Those awful housewife shows.
Me
and
too.
I try not to, and I actually discuss them with people. I mean, that's
me
and
too.
There are a couple
Lori
of
makes
ones
fun of me all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
who's
that's,
your favorite housewife?
Well, I think the New York housewives are the meanest ones. That's one thing. But I don't have a favorite housewife. I have to tell you that because they're all demented in different ways. But my favorite is the Orange County. That's my favorite one.
I used to watch them, Orange County, and then I used to watch Beverly Hills. Now I don't. I'll tell you the truth. I am hooked on a couple shows now that I love The Voice more than anything, and I vote.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good show.
I love that show, and this year there's the most talented. And I used to vote other shows. You know, what was the other one? American
Idol.
Think,
yeah,
it's crazy.
I heard that was coming back too.
Yeah, and Dancing with the Stars. I like those shows.
Yeah,
and,
I hooked Lori up to Dancing
yeah,
with the Stars.
Like
yeah, but The Voice to me is the greatest chemistry among those judges, and the biggest talent this year. It's just I have no idea who's going to win because it's just.
They're all
amazing,
talent.
but the reality shows have way. I mean, I will bash because I think it's the dumbing down of America. This whole
please.
Kardashian world.
Please.
I just
I cannot watch that. I cannot watch that. And they are the richest ones too.
Oh my
that's
God, millions and millions. And the other day, one of my friends sent me a picture of Kim Kardashian's tush that she posed on Instagram. Now, why does anyone want to see? If I had that tush, I wouldn't leave the house. Let me just put it here that way.
Well, they all make their tush like that. That's first of all.
I know. First
second,
of all, it's not even real. And second of all, what? Why? What possible reason? And the two
know.
Beautiful young girls, the sisters, they go, the Jenner sisters, they go to the Met Ball in see-through dresses that you can
yeah.
see everything. I mean, come on.
And
I'm
they're
not,
young.
Maybe
they're
I am
21.
A prude. I don't think I am.
No, and I'm not either. But see, then it just goes back.
But that's how they make
women
their money, right?
But you know what? You don't have. See, here's the thing. They were born into their wealth. They didn't earn it. So at least the paying forward would be, let me do something important.
No.
Let me give to a.
We'll talk about reinvent themselves. They reinvent themselves to just demean them.
That's
lowest
common denominator.
Women.
That's
yeah.
setting the centuries
back. Demeaning us women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what they're
yeah.
doing.
That's.
Yeah, I can't bear it.
Me neither. I can't stand them. I cannot stand them.
Well, you know, Elite loves them, and a couple of times.
I don't love them.
No. The reality show.
Oh yeah.
So a couple of times.
Like
I said,
which
you know what?
Which shows?
I just love the Housewives. Yeah. The Housewives are my my favorite.
Yeah,
so
I love the reunions where they.
Oh, that's
you know,
even the better ones. You know what it is?
Yeah.
I don't like drama, and this is my drama, my pitch of drama. So. When I watch it, I just laugh.
There's such great drama on TV now. Oh, my God. Billions is so brilliant.
Yeah.
It's, oh, my God.
Homeland
used to be. It's not anymore. But, I mean, there are such great dramas on that I must tell you, I watch them more. The only comedy I watch is Veep because it's so brilliant.
Yeah,
and it's like it's not even satire anymore, unfortunately.
Oh,
it's real.
That's what
real
I was
going
to say. I was watching it last season saying, oh, it's starting to feel like home.
Yeah, it's not going
yeah,
to.
Reality. That's an extraordinary show. I think that has the greatest writing
yeah,
and acting
good writing.
Of any half hour that's on.
Very, very male heavy, and that's what turns me off to that show.
But that's
well, except she
that's,
is the lead.
Right. I mean, I understand that, but everybody else is male.
But that's,
there's only one female.
But that's the White House.
No, I know.
That's
the Oval Office. And it's more politics.
Well,
turn
you don't
off
really like that. You don't really like that. But, I mean, I think that's probably the – I mean, so that's – your top 10 favorite shows, what would you say? That's one of them, right, Susan?
Now – yeah, now for sure. And I must tell you the truth. I don't watch much real TV anymore because I'm an MSNBC, CNN, 24/7 screaming at the television.
Yeah.
I love
but
The Voice.
How much
can the
you
voice
watch
is
that?
My,
it's a little bit.
The voice,
you know something, though? But tell me that this isn't true. I watch Morning Joe every day.
I do, too, yelling at him.
Yes. And the funny thing is, people that I have disagreed with and yelled at in the past, now all of a sudden it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
And that's what it's become.
But, you know, he's on Twitter, and he says things now that no one else says about Trump, and I won't let him off the hook. I say, you say that now, but you made him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly
but
right.
But, I mean, no, that's a very important show, because when they call it like it is, people do listen to that, and they said some. Now, there's this whole controversy now with Stephen Colbert. I didn't see the original monologue, but I saw it. Someone sent it to me on YouTube, and he did go too far. But,
I did, you know what? I have to look. Did you see it yet? Because I'm gonna have to look at it later.
I saw it, and it's they had to bleep out a couple unfortunate things. He didn't have to go that far. He's brilliant. He's able to nail him. The most brilliant, however, guy working today to me is John Oliver.
Oh my God! You never saw that show.
That's late night, right?
First
yeah.
of all,
yeah,
the English
night.
Accent, he can get away with murder, and he can swear, but he doesn't need to. He's so extraordinarily brilliant. He does jokes that no one even thinks of. It's a way of saying things that I couldn't even imagine if I sat down all day and tried to, and I think he's a genius.
Yeah. Now I'm curious. Now I want to look at that.
Oh, yeah, it's weekly. It's, what is it? This is the, I don't even know, on HBO or?
Yeah.
I don't know where it is, but he is worth watching.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really not funny, but you watch these shows, and that's all I watch at night. I'll have you know, Rachel Maddow. I just watch
right.
it, but and nothing's really changed. But you just
right.
No,
have,
and Lawrence O'Donnell, whom I
yes.
think is kind of a jerk, is my hero now.
I know. It's
yeah.
just I mean
I watch it all
I
night,
watch.
And so I'm not watching other TV. It's really bizarre. And the sad thing is that. The rating, well, look, they made him. They made Trump by giving him all the coverage. So now they've got to save us, but I don't see it yet.
Yeah, but it's just, it's constant.
But,
it doesn't stop.
I know.
But this
doesn't stop.
This is what I've said since last year, and Elite, you've heard me say this. This is the brilliance of brand marketing. He got us to mention his name at least 10 times every day.
Yeah,
every
he's not
day.
Stupid.
But isn't that frightening?
And it's still happening.
Yeah.
It's still happening. So, I mean, as far as genius in marketing your product, I don't think my brand ever could make that. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
but you know why? Because you have shame and guilt
yes, and
humility.
Yes,
right. And he doesn't.
And he has none, so he
none.
Doesn't care good or bad.
Not even
and
a conscience.
And also, it's kind of idiot savant. I mean, he stumbled into that
yeah.
apprentice thing.
Oh.
Who knew? You know, I watched it. I thought it was fun. And he wasn't as obnoxious as I know him to be in real life.
No.
So I thought, what the heck? Well.
There you go.
Well, you know, I think an interesting observation that Howard Stern made is he said nobody wanted Hillary to win more than Trump.
Yeah.
I think this man was terribly ill-prepared for this. Nobody expected it. And now it's like, you know, what next?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's why I said, about the first month in, David Brooks of the New York Times, who I love, said he gives it six months or a year, I think he said. I said, I give it 6 months because I thought one of three things, impeachment from all the malfeasance and all that stuff. Second of all, he would just resign. I mean, he doesn't want it. He didn't want it in the first place. He just wanted the publicity anyway.
But do you think
something awful, you know. But, yeah, I really think he doesn't want it. I think it's making him stressed. She's not there. He's walking around at night like an idiot, you know, by himself, talking to himself and tweeting.
That's not healthy. No.
No. And he doesn't sleep, you know.
No, that's
so that's another thing. You can't operate on 3 hours of sleep and be a normal human being. So,
no.
Yeah,
I
give it
to him. Quitting.
I don't see his ego allowing him
to. Yeah, I don't see him being a quitter.
But I think there were certain,
like, he's just
certain
so pompous.
Things that were said yesterday that there might actually be some condition there. That's, I mean, Reagan had...
Oh, mental. I mean, Joe and Mika actually said the word dementia.
That's exactly
and
right.
And Lawrence O'Donnell or somebody else had said earlier, how will we know if he has it? Because he's always been that way. But his father had it.
That's right.
You know, and he... I mean, the most interesting psychiatric analysis always shows that there's something wrong with him. And he has limited reading ability, and he can't concentrate.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some brain thing going on.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's what's so scary, that our government can function, sort of.
With that.
Yeah. With that.
It's really not. But
it is so true.
And the problem with, if he always had it, and there were just some small features showing, stress brings on the features more prominently, and that's
probably
what
can you believe anybody with a brain... And even a quarter of a brain would say, "Oh, it's much harder than I thought." What?
Oof.
What alternate universe is it easy being the president? When you're the emperor with no clothes, it's probably harder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing, and nobody could handle him. No, he's got no filter, and nobody around him knows how to throw a net over him, and that's really
no.
what we're dealing with.
Yes, the hook and the net would be wonderful things.
That's,
yeah, it really would be.
But before, this is the part of the show, Susan, because we could go
yes,
on forever, where we tell our guests to go plug themselves. If there is something
is that dirty?
We,
it sounds so dirty.
Isn't it?
It is.
Well, you
yeah,
know, it's
really
PG-13. We could do it. But if there's anything that we didn't hit on is what I mean. That you
well,
know, other than
I tell
book,
you what I would love
sure.
more than anything because I don't have, like, you know, big PR and publisher stuff behind me and everything. I've set up the website so that the readers can keep in touch and, you know, email me and tell me what they like. I love when I get, you know, response. And I'm doing, and it's also got the list of my book events. I'm doing bookstore events in California, in Wisconsin, in my hometown. All my high school friends are coming.
Oh,
which
how
really
fun.
Yeah,
a lot
and then
fun.
In Aspen. And and so if they go to www.hotpantsinhollywood.com, they can get the free chapter. They can learn where to buy it. They can read everything, see everything. And I put these links to this on, if you allow me. And
Jeez.
Stuff like that. So that's I really would like to engage with people because, you know, after you've been in your room for 2 years, you want to know that it's reaching someone.
You want some social outreach.
Yeah.
Well, you were an absolute delight, and I'd love you to come on any other time you want. And you just keep. I'm going to put all the information on our Facebook page tomorrow. I'm going to do a couple of press release blasts too.
Great,
and just
Petey. And if
a,
you know anybody that does Mother's Day.
Oh my God!
Or buy gifts. I don't know how to do that, and I think that this would be good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to figure that out.
If anybody can do it, it's you.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. No, that's because that's actually brilliant. I love
yeah,
that.
I like
I
that.
I love that. But I definitely will get on that. And thank you so much, my darling.
It's been such
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. I adored it, and you're doing a wonderful thing.
Thank you, love.
Thank you.
Speak to you soon. Susan Silver, thank you very much.
Bye.
Give her a hand. Yep.
Yay!
Thank you.
Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, calm down. Simmer down.
She is, like I said, I know her personally. She really is quite, quite funny. She's got
yeah.
the timing down and everything. Stand-up would have been just...
It was really a pleasure talking
oh,
to her.
Oh, it's just a fact. And the book is, you know, how do I do this? How do I market that? Mother's Day, oh, wait, you know what? You know something? I could do it. I'm going to do a press release.
Okay.
And do a special Mother's Day spin for her.
Why not? That sounds like a great idea. And I think it's just a great idea in general.
It really, you know what? Because the importance of, like, you know, a daughter like your age that
mm-hmm.
you have would be perfect for,
yeah.
for this. I think it would just promote wonderful... Yeah, that's actually, okay, I'm going to work on that. I'm on the job. Baby doll, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
I'm not looking at you. This is my normal look.
Oh, yeah, I forget my sphinx. I forget. Well, first of all, we got to pay for this show, and I got to thank some sponsors.
Good.
Okay.
Woohoo.
Lee Zigman, who do we love? Come
we
on. Topperson. We love them, they love us. Bruises love them more. Why, you ask? Because they
we
are
like them.
An accelerant. Why? Because we like them. It's an accelerant. What you don't want to put on your body is something that is just going to deaden the nerve ending so that you think that you're actually doing something to the condition. Topperson doesn't do that. It accelerates healing. And that's all you really want. Pain is a God bless. Elite, it's a God bless.
It's a God
it's letting
bless.
Letting you know something is wrong. That's what you want. That's what you want. Topperson, www.topperson.com. Mention us. Say Lori and Elite sent you if you're calling. I know they're going to give you a discount. I just know it. I feel it in my bones. Topperson. And the summer's coming. Afterburn. What else do we use for the summer? Topperson Jr., I put on your mosquito bites. Remember that time you were scratching
Listen,
like a hound?
They have so many products
yeah.
for every
yeah.
single
yeah.
Feature that you need.
So say some more.
Well, there's the foot formula, the junior formula. And the only thing that we always say they're missing a dog formula or a pet
they're
formula.
They're going to be coming up with that.
I'm sure,
I
but any kind of pain relief, whether your hands – your temples if you have a headache.
Tell us. Sing
your
it, sister.
Feet.
Sing
your
it, sister.
Calves.
Sing it, sister.
They have something for everything.
Topperson.com.
There you go.
Go by. And you know something? When you're on the beach this summer, after you finished the lovely Susan Silver's book, Hot Pants in Hollywood, I want you to put that book down.
Right.
Keep it safe from the sand, and you were going to pick up Muscle Sport magazine. That's
right.
What you're going to pick up and finish out the day and your tan with that. And this is it goes back to the years that Elite and I first started working out.
Oh,
we wanted content, damn it. That's what we wanted.
Good stuff.
We wanted information, and that's what this Muscle Sport Mag, $32 a year. A year. That's all, and that's free delivery. What magazine?
Can't
what magazine
gives
you that much? Muscle Sport Mag. And let me think. Oh, talk about chicks doing good things. New York State Women Incorporated doing nice things all over the globe. I think there's a tea party coming up. When is that?
Well, actually, if they're going to be around the Binghamton area, June
2nd? Oh, June 2nd and 3rd. We're going to be
me
there.
Me and Lori Towers.
I have
will
to
be there.
There too with you.
Yeah, we will. I said me and Lori Towers.
I'm just playing.
We will be up there
to greet you.
She tells me I don't speak, and when I do,
side
she speaks over me.
Side.
Okay.
I wanted to sing side by side with
you. Let's end the show, Gracie.
Wait, do you want to say something else?
No, that was it. Whatever I said, you
spoke
over.
Side by side, we're going to be side. What else are you going to be saying?
That's it.
No, when you're up in Binghamton.
We're going to do what we do best. I will do a little personal training. You will do a little massage. And then we'll even talk to you. Shake a hand if you need.
We have nothing with people. I was going to say sign our books, but we don't have any books out that we could
sign. A piece of paper if you'd like. Autographs are allowed.
And we're also going to stop by and see the statue of Rod Serling. He's promised me.
Bye. We're
okay,
going to do that.
Me.
Of course. That's going to be the highlight
thank
of the trip.
Thank you, honey. And thank everybody for joining us, especially the lovely Susan Silver. Wonderful, wonderful book.
Yes.
Please pick it up. You know, support your bookstores. Go to a bookstore and get it. It's in Barnes & Noble. I'm going to list everybody.
You can download it?
You can. But
well,
I like, you know what?
Well,
if
that's
you
your
go
preference.
To a bookstore.
Either way, if you're not, if you have a Kindle or Nook,
Amazon, sure. And
download it.
We're going to get all that information tomorrow and put it on our wall. Thank you much. And go out, make it a good day, make it a productive day. And we will see you next week, same time.
Same channel.
And Nina's going to take us home.
Nina, where are you?